I want to minister to you this morning upon a subject which I have entitled The Unconquered Life. The Unconquered Life. The 24th verse of Jude's epistle. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. As we come to the last Lord's Day of another year, and we look back over the past, we learn once again that life's pathway is full of pitfalls and snares. That life's voyage is over a sea that is oftentimes stormy. A sea that has sunken reefs that are filled with treachery. And we have seen wrecked lives, shipwrecked on these reefs during the past year. We are also reminded that life's battle is a battle indeed. And we have seen the wounds and the slayings and the defeats in life's battle during 1968. Every phase of our life has its various temptations, has its subtle snares, and has its treacherous pitfalls. Our own personal life is surrounded by various temptations and various snares. Our religious life is also surrounded by temptations and by snares. In fact, the whole of life's journey, the whole of life's pilgrimage, the whole of life's voyage, the whole of life's battle is one tremendous struggle against the powers of the enemy and against forces that are subtly and sullenly intent to drag us down, to ruin our testimony, to mar our life, and to wreck our soul. We are in the midst of conflict. Now, if you look with me at this epistle, you will find that the Apostle Jude, he tells us about some people, some groups of persons, and some individuals who along life's pathway fell, and how terrible and how dark and how tragic was their fall. He actually mentions six illustrations of terrible falls in life's journey. And then at the end of the chapter he says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. My dear believer, you don't need to be discouraged this morning. You can encourage yourself in the Lord by the strong right hand of God. Hallelujah! Can keep us from falling. Now let's look at these various illustrations of which Jude uses. First of all, he calls attention to Israel. Look at verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroy them that believe not. The mightiest of peoples have fallen, but God is able to keep you from falling. What a nation was the nation of Israel. Here was a people with a history unparalleled among the nations. This group of people had been down in Egypt. They had heard the crack and felt the lash of the taskmaster's whip upon their shoulders. They had seen the mighty intervention of God in the plagues that smote Pharaoh, the tyrant and dictator over them. They had come out of Egypt through the blood of the Paschal Lamb with their hands lifted up, for we read that they came out with their hands outstretched on high in victory. This people came to the Red Sea, and God parted the billows, and made a road in the bed of the sea that had never been trodden by human feet before. And the Egyptians, he sang to do so, were drowned. He brought this people through the wilderness. He gave them flesh and manna in the morning and flesh and manna in the evening time. And he did wonders for them. There was no people like this people. And yet with all their privileges and with all their blessings and with all their wonderful history, and with all their experiences of divine intervention, this people perished because of unbelief. They refused to go into the land. They came to Kadesh Barnea, and they turned their backs, and they listened to the 10 spies that brought an evil report, and they stoned the 2 spies that brought a good report, Caleb and Joshua. And God destroyed them. And they fell by the wilderness. But let me draw the lesson this morning. The mightiest of peoples have fallen, but He is able to keep you from falling. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, we have had our privileges. We have been down there in Egypt. We know what it is to suffer under the crack and lash of the taskmaster of sin. But the Lord has delivered us, and He has brought us out, and He has redeemed us. And many times we have been like Israel, backslidden in heart, cold in spirit, careless in living. And yet God is able to keep us from falling. My, if it wasn't the goodness of God, brother, you wouldn't be here this morning. If it wasn't the goodness of God, sister, you wouldn't be here this morning. You would be a poor, miserable backslider. You'd be away from God. But in 1968, God has kept us. It's the Lord that did it. He's able to keep us from falling. And then you will notice, secondly, if you turn back again, that not only have the mightiest of peoples fallen, but the fairest of cities have fallen. Look at verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now turn back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 13. And in Genesis chapter 13, you'll find that there are 2 men. And these 2 men are standing together on the mountainside. Abraham, the uncle, Lot, the nephew. And they're looking down over the fair plain of the Jordan Valley. And there's the river of Jordan, wending its way on until it empties itself in the Dead Sea. And there you have the beautiful cities of the plain. And what does the Bible say about them? Verse 10 of Genesis 13. They were as the garden of the Lord. They were like Eden. So fair. So beautiful. So prosperous. They were a veritable oasis in Palestine. Fair city. And yet Jude tells us that one day God drew a sword. And God smote the fairest cities of the land. And they fell. And how terrible was the fall thereof. And buried in the depths of the Dead Sea, those cities today are a monument to the vengeance of the eternal fire of God. But let me tell you that though the fairest of cities have fallen, He is able to keep you from falling. The very sins, my friend, that curse those cities are cursing our land today. The very evil that brought those cities down, down, down to hell itself. Those very evil things pollute and curse with their deadly virus the bloodstream of the human race today. And yet amidst it all, God is able to keep me from falling. Praise God for the strong right hand of Jehovah. Praise God for the grace of God. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And you're here today because of God's sovereign grace. Now we can encourage ourselves this morning. It doesn't matter how dark. It doesn't matter how terrible. It doesn't matter how sinful, how iniquitous 1969 is. God is able to keep me from falling. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. Then look back again with me, would you, to Jude, and you'll find that he goes to the very heaven of heavens. He climbs up right into the third heaven. And he takes a look at the inhabitants of the heaven of heavens. The angels of God. The morning stars and the sons of the Jehovah himself. And he says the angels, verse 6, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he have reserved in everlasting chains. I want you to get the scene, friend. Jehovah sitting upon his everlasting throne. Around him these bright, dazzling, shining creatures, the angels of the everlasting God. How wonderful their song and shouts of praise. How wonderful their personalities and individualities. How wonderful their mighty strength and mighty power. Because he makes his angels flames of fire. Can these celestial beings fall? Can the angels of God perish in hell? Can these great beings that stood before the everlasting throne of the triune God someday be stained and soiled and marred and scarred until their only place is the chains of darkness forever? Yes, these angels can fall. And one day a third of the angels of heaven fell. The old dragon brought a third of the stars of heaven down with him in his fall. And these celestial beings that were once as pure as God's everlasting throne and as bright as the dazzling purity of God's immutable law, now they're black and they're in hell forever. Though the mightiest and highest of celestial beings fell, yet God is able to keep you from falling. You say to me, preacher, if angels can be dragged down, if celestial beings can perish, if these, the stars of heaven and the sons of God, can have their final destiny in hell, what hope is there for a poor, struggling sinner like me? Praise God, where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. He's able to keep you from falling. That's the message of this book. He's able to keep us from falling. And then from groups of people, Jude turns to individuals. Look at verse 11. And he mentions three individuals. He mentions, first of all, Cain. And then he mentions Balaam. And then he mentions Kor. The firstborn of the race, that's Cain. And the firstborn of the race has fallen. The first man ever to be born of human generation was Cain. And the firstborn of the race fell. Did you ever think of the privileges that Cain had? Did you ever think that Cain's father was the direct creation of God? And Cain's mother was the direct creation of God. And when Cain was growing up, old Adam told him the wonderful story. And he took his little boy to the gate in his hand of Eden, and he showed him the blazing cherubim with drawn sword. And he showed him, he pointed away to the tree of life and the beauty of paradise, and he said, there was where I lived. But because of sin, my son, I was driven out of the garden. And here I am, a wanderer and a vagabond on the earth. And yet, Cain, there's a day coming when a Savior is coming to this world. And he taught his son to build an altar. And he taught his son to slay a lamb and lay it on the altar. But when Cain grew up, he wouldn't have God's way. He wanted his own way. What privileges he had! What warnings he had! What revelations from heaven he had! God had self-talked with him face to face, and he said, Cain, why is thy countenance wrath? Sin! There's a sin offering lying at the door. Go and bring it. And tear away from your altar the trappings of your own hand, and the harvest of the ground that I have cursed, and lay upon that altar the sacrifice of blood that I'll accept. But Cain wouldn't have it. And the firstborn of the race fell. But God is able to keep you from falling. You haven't had the privileges. You haven't stood face to face with God the same way that Cain has. You haven't been carried to the very gates of heaven and seen with human eye in paradise the flaming cherubim with drawn sword. And yet, my friend, because of God's grace, oh, the wonder of it, oh, the glory of it, oh, the majesty of it, oh, the dazzling, staggering revelation of it all, God is able to keep you from falling. You could perish like Cain, but praise God, if you're saved, you'll never perish. You could go down to the depths like Cain, but praise God, if God has got his hand upon you, he will keep you. He will keep you. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. What a message for an incoming year is this. He's able to keep us from falling. Look at the second person he mentions. Balaam. Balaam was the prophet of Moab. Balaam was the prophet that brought the divine message. If you look at Numbers 22, you'll find just how he spoke. And yet in 2 Peter, if you turn back to it, and verse 15, we get the sin of this man called Balaam. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. That's why he perished. He was a prophet. You couldn't read what God spoke through his lips without being staggered at it. You go home today and read Numbers 22 and see just exactly the type of man that this man was. And yet he fell, for he loved the wages of unrighteousness. And how many a preacher, how many a prophet has fallen because he loved the wages of unrighteousness. I was hearing the other day about a young man that I knew very well. He served some time in the Belfast City Mission, and then he decided to go into the Irish Presbyterian ministry. And he's in a large church today. And the young man went to hear him preach, friend of mine. And he said to me, what a tragedy. He said, I heard that man preach the gospel with power. And he said, the day I went to hear him was Communion Sunday, and he invited everyone, saint and sinner, to come to the table. And he says, the elders that served the communion, he says, I know them. Some of them were drunk the night before, and staggered out of the pub. And there they were at the table of the Lord. Why is that man like that? I'll tell you. Because he loved the wages of unrighteousness. And many a preacher has fallen because of prestige and salary, and because he wanted to stand well with his congregation. And many a man has started well. And it's not how you start, friend, that counts. It's how you finish. How you finish. God, help us to finish. Finish with the same standards that we started with. Friend, I want to tell you that amidst it all, and as a preacher, I take courage today that he is able to keep me from falling. It would be easy for the preacher to compromise. It would be easy under the pressures to tone down the message. It would be easy under the pressures that are upon me not to speak the plain word of God. But praise God, he's able to keep me from falling. He's able to help this poor preacher to preach the same message until he dies. And to raise the standards. And they refuse to compromise, no matter what the cost may be. He's able to keep us from falling. God, save us from the way of Balaam, loving the wages of unrighteousness. What a terrible tragedy. And then there's something more. He comes to Kor. And if you turn back to number 16, you'll find who Kor was. Korah. He was a priest. He was of the tribe of Levi. He had special privileges in the tabernacle. And yet he rebelled against Aaron and the leadership of Moses. And you know what happened to him? He went down alive into the pit with Dathan and Abiram, his confederates in crime and in rebellion. He was a priest of God, but he fell. And great was his fall. But though, my friend, the firstborn of the race fell, and though the prophet of Moab fell, and though the priest of God Korah fell, he is able to keep you from falling. He can keep you from falling. Learn something this morning, that age does not exempt you from falling. You may be an old Christian. You may have come a long way along life's highway, but you could fall. Moses was over 80 years of age when he fell. David was over 50 when he committed adultery and became a murderer. And Peter was over 40 when he denied his Lord with oaths and curses. Age does not exempt you from falling, but praise God, he is able to keep you from falling. Let me tell you that position does not exempt you from falling. Eli fell. He was a priest of God. Samson fell. He was a judge among the judges of Israel. Solomon fell. He was the wisest king who ever lived, but he fell. Position does not exempt us from falling. Better men than us have fallen. Abraham was the friend of God, but he became a liar. Some of the great men. Noah walked with God, but old Noah became a drunkard. What a sad ending is the story of Noah's life. Better man than us have fallen. Let me say something else. We've all got to confess this morning, we have almost gone ourselves. In 1968, only God prevented us what would have been the shipwreck of our lives. You know, there's a great verse over in Genesis. Abimelech, the king, God said to him, I withheld thee from sinning against me. I withheld thee from sinning against me, and God has withheld it. My friend, let us bear testimony to the fact that God's hand has been upon us. In the last 12 months, he has guided us through many storms. He has preserved us in many trials. We would have fallen into the pit that our enemies have digged for us. But God has kept our feet. We would have gone down, soiled our testimony, and like David caused the enemies of God to blaspheme. But God has been more than gracious to us. He is able to keep you from falling. How can I sink with such a prop as the eternal God, who bears the earth's high pillars up and spreads his skies abroad? What a prop we have, the mighty grace of God. If you have your Bible, turn with me in closing to Isaiah 40. I was reading these words last night. This is the God that keeps us from falling. Isaiah 40. Just a couple of verses. Read the whole chapter when you go home. It's a chapter of comfort. Verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Isaiah 40:11. That's what he's done for us this year. He's fed us like a flock. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. That's what he's done for us, hasn't he? And carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Hallelujah. This is our God. We're going to win the battle. We're going to have the unconquered life, all right. Verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. A drop of a bucket. What's Russia to God today? Only a drop in the bucket. What's China to our God today? Only a drop in the bucket. What's America to God today? Only a drop in the bucket. What's Europe to God today? Only a drop in the bucket. What's the whole of Africa to God? Only a drop in a bucket. And are counted as the small dust of the balance. And what about the islands? What about Great Britain and Ireland? They're only a little thing with God. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a little thing. Turn to verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He is able to keep you from falling. The unconquered life. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. May God help us to rejoice this morning in our mighty God.